Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS, hour two for Tuesday, August 3rd, primary election day in the state of Michigan. Very happy to welcome in, guess we haven't had on in a while, Susan J. Demas of Capital Chronicles. Hi, Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Just fine. Want to talk to you a little bit about the Democratic gubernatorial race, first of all, and I think you did the definitive Andy Dillon profile in Dome magazine, and I recall that and learning a few things about Andy Dillon, but I think a lot of people now may have learned that his campaign has not held up, and Mark Grebner was just saying he thinks his race is over, that Virge Bernero is going to have a fairly easy time as a Democratic gubernatorial nominee.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I've been very skeptical of polls for this primary season because they have not been very accurate in other states. But I would say that we probably have a better sense of what's going on the Democratic side than we do on the Republican side today.
If you had been advising Andy Dillon in light of what has happened to the campaign, and it seemed that he had a double-digit lead and turned into a double-digit deficit in the span of about 10 days, where did he go wrong?
Well, I would have advised him from the start that the unions and some of the liberal groups, you know, the environmentalists, are going to go at you hard, you know? So you got to be prepared, and you have to have a line of attack. You have to know that this is coming. Because they don't like you, and they don't really care if a Republican gets in. They just don't want you to be the Democratic nominee. So devise an effective strategy so you can blunt that. You've got more money. You have a plan. You have some leadership qualities. So make your case.
How important is Lansing experience? Everyone talks about political insiders, and Rick Snyder has campaigned against that, but how important is it for a governor to know how the bologna is made?
Oh, it's extraordinarily important. I don't know that it will help people this year get elected, but in terms of actually doing the job, it's very critical, and that's why if Rick Snyder is the GOP nominee, and which means he will likely be our next governor, it'll be very critical for him to have a lieutenant governor and some advisors who have actually been here, because you're dealing with a $44 billion budget. You know, I know he was the CEO of Gateway, but, you know, they had $6 billion in sales. We've got a $44 billion budget. There's a big difference there.
Last question about the Democratic side of this, Susan. Virge Bernero has done a pretty good job of sticking Andy Dillon with the tag Speaker of the Mess. How fair is that?
Oh, well, I mean, the government here is a mess, and Andy Dillon has been Speaker. I don't think that it's unfair, but Virge has kind of pretended that Andy Dillon is responsible for everything that's gone wrong. He basically pretends that he's been governor for the last 4 or 8 years, which he obviously hasn't been. So, you know, the way a state is run does start with the governor. So if you got a problem, it's fair to blame her for things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Andy Dillon had to know walking in that his somewhat unimpressive record as Speaker would be used against him, and he'd have to make the case why he wasn't able to get accomplished everything that he wanted to as Speaker. And he could have said, as Speaker, I can only do so much. I have a divided caucus. Republicans run the Senate. Here's what I would do as governor when I have the power. But I'm not sure that he ever really made that case.
Someone suggested to me the other day, Susan, that on the Republican side, Rick Snyder was only going to get about 30% of the vote. But if there were enough other candidates in there to divide up the other 70%, he had a great chance. And they think that that could just be happening with Mike Cox and Pete Hoekstra and Mike Bouchard, divvying that up, and there's a very good chance that it's going to be Bernero and Snyder.
Yeah, Well, you know, we like to call that the Joe Schwartz strategy of 2004 down in the 7th Congressional. That's how he was able to win the seat. And then, of course, in the general election, he got 60% of the vote because he had such appeal to moderate, independent Democrats. If it's Bernardo Snyder, it's going to be a blowout. You're going to see Democrats gladly vote for Rick Snyder over Bernardo.
What if it's Cox or Hoekstra?
It'll be closer, certainly with Cox, most likely, because, you know, Jeffrey Feiger still has more bombs to drop. But in general, whoever the Republican nominee is, even if there's a scandal, they still have the edge.
You don't see the Democrats having a chance in this regardless. I think this Democratic race...
Not with Virg Fornaro. And no Democrat thinks that he does. He does not have any crossover appeal. Everybody knows that Andy Dillon was a much stronger general election candidate, but, you know, he still wouldn't have much of a chance.
Okay. So the question is, who's going to win the Republican primary, and that's going to tell us who the next governor is.
Yes, and, you know, were I psychic, I would probably be very rich and, you know, not writing for a living. But so I can't, I mean, it's
Are you telling me there's a difference between writing for a living and being rich, that those two do not go together?
I only wish that that's been my experience, but sadly, no.
Okay.
You know, the polls in recent days have looked pretty good for Snyder, but I hear that turnout's up on the west side of the state, which mm-hmm. helps Hoekstra. So, you know, it's a three-way race at the top, and, you know, you never know. Maybe Bouchard will overperform. So this should be interesting.
I think the better Bouchard does, the more chance Snyder has of getting elected.
You would think that he would take votes away from Cox.
Yes. Yeah. In terms of the 7th District Congressional seat, we had Brian Rooney on the show yesterday. And, you know, Mark Snyder is trying to be everywhere. I think there are four of him going around doing things. In the meantime, we're starting to get a little sniping and guys who were pretty close in terms of their policies in Brian Rooney and Tim Walberg don't seem to like each other much.
I don't really know very many people who like Tim Walberg at all. I mean, you know, he's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, which is why Brian Rooney is in this race. You had Republicans in Washington recruit him, and you had a lot of people who were ticked off at him in the district with the way he ran his campaign in 06 against Joe Schwartz and ultimately cost the Republicans the seat because Mark Schauer never would have run against Joe Schwartz, and he certainly would not have beaten him. So, you know, I think there's personal animosity, even though politically they're extremely close.
All right. We know that the 7th District is basically a GOP district, and we know that this is a GOP year, the way it's all shaping up. So how does Mark Schauer get reelected?
You know, I have to say, I think Mark could probably walk on water and still not be reelected in that district. You know, if Republicans are going to pick up 40, 50, or 60 seats, you got to think the 7th will be one of them. Mm-hmm. Mark didn't win by very much in the Obama year. He won with less than 50% of the vote and 2.3% over Walberg.
If Mark Schauer cannot win this race, is it possible that Tim Walberg could lose it?
Yeah, it is. But it's still going to be very difficult with the makeup of the district and who's going to show up to vote because it's going to be much more of a Republican electorate. But Mark is trying to do everything he can, and he's very good at constituent services, and he will really give it a run. And he's raised a ton of money. But it's just a very hard year for him.
Our guest, Susan J. Demas, Capital Chronicles. Susan, can you tell us about your next piece and where people can see it?
I did write something on my MLive blog today, Capital Chronicles, just taking a look at national media coverage of the Michigan election and what they've gotten wrong. And for my column this week, I'm sure I'll do a roundup of what the election means, try and make some sense out of it.
And there are a lot of places that you can get that, and I usually do that at MLive.com. So, Susan, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be back. We're going to talk with Ann Emmerich of WLNS TV6 coming up next after this check of weather and sports.